The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, the congregation of the noble companions was present, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that on the day of judgment there will come a time on the day of judgment when there will be a unique sight. This is the tashri of the hadith, the commentary of the hadith, that people with amal, with lots of amal, people who had lots of amal, and then the Prophet ﷺ gave the example, the people who had amal to the heights of the mountains, people with so many deeds, they will have amal to their name. And despite having all of those amal in the record of deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will direct those people towards the hellfire. In a certain way, Allah ta'ala will send them. They will be wretched at that time. They will be announced that these people, in a severe way, in a strict way, they will be ushered towards Jahannam. And their deeds, as I said, they will have so many deeds to the name, equivalent to the heights of the peaks of the mountains. So many good deeds, so many deeds that they implemented in the world. So this is a, you can say, severe situation. And this is the reality for us, that if we look towards our ibadat, our worship, I'm praying salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, tahajjud, or I'm doing dhikr, or I'm reciting Quran, all of these deeds that we perform, so despite all of these deeds, those people will be, you can say, in a firm way, taken towards Jahannam, hellfire, and shown the hellfire. And the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions, were upset, distressed. They said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these people will be implementing deeds, and then even then they will be told to go towards the hellfire when the decision's made. And then the Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did these people not pray salah? Did they not keep fast? Because these are the big faraid and the big deeds, aren't they? What deeds, what are faraid? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're fasting, they'll be doing prayer, and even then they will go into hellfire. And what was the answer that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave? Listen carefully to this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they didn't just keep fast or pray salah, rather one whole portion of the night of theirs used to pass in worship. In worship. So my brothers, let's think now. Let's think. Let's analyze. Let's ponder that what is the hal of a human being, and what is this dunya that we're living in, and what will be the place where we will be going to, and which hal will we be in? And when I say we, I'm speaking about myself, not to you. I'm addressing myself, that what is it that despite all of the deeds that a believer performs, alhamdulillah, we come with Allah's tawfiq to Fajr Salah, and we do dhikr, and we remember Allah with Allah's tawfiq. But how can we compare to those people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to? Imagine their ibadah, their worship. So what equation will be mine in with my deeds? What will be the sums and the formulas used for my deeds if I compare myself to those pious people? So what we realize here is that a person, despite him implementing deeds, should not just become free. Allah Ta'ala has principles and rules, and Allah Ta'ala weighs on the scale. And a person shouldn't just sit, you know, cross his legs and say, oh, I pray to Hajjud, and I do ibadah, and I worship, I remember Allah, I'm pious. No. Allah Ta'ala's analysis, Allah Ta'ala's measurement, Allah Ta'ala weighing up our deeds, we have to put that in front of us, that on which basis will our deeds be accepted, our worship be accepted, because this is our objective, isn't it? That we want Allah Ta'ala to give us success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ We need to attain success. We want what success? We want to be saved from the hellfire. We want to be saved from Jahannam, from the punishment of the grave. We want to be saved from all of the trials and the different stages and the tests. We want Allah Ta'ala's pleasure in paradise. Isn't it? This is the objective. And the person who attains this objective, praise be to Allah, he is successful. He has become successful. And for him, for that person, for those people, Allah Ta'ala has given us a temporary life, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, 900 years. But everybody has to do the same thing. You can do it in 10 years. Some people pass away at the age of 10. Some people at the age of 40, they attain the heights that nobody can compare. There are examples in history of mankind. Somebody at 30 years, they achieved the heights and deeds. And some people 90 years are coughing and spluttering. They don't even know why they have come to this world. 90 years of age and living in this world. 80 years, so many decades people are living in this world. They don't know why they're in this world. What is the objective? What will Allah Ta'ala ask us on the Day of Judgment? What questions will be put to us? The accounting, the balancing. How will a person be forgiven? For what reasons will salvation be attained? Where will we go? People don't know. They're here for decades. They're lifelong. So this is ajeeb place we're in and situation. And we're sitting in this world comfortable. We know the halad, what's going to come after death. And shaitan overwhelms our minds and our bodies and our lives and influence us. And we know what our destination is ultimately, but we forget it. Oh, why is it this? I have to do this. Why is this important? Where is this written? This is compulsory. Oh, it doesn't make a difference if I don't do it. All night long, if a person does ibadah and worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one portion of the night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that these people will do worship for one whole portion of the night. And do you think these people would ever think that they're not going to be forgiven? Aha, but when people hear and see somebody who prays and he's up half the night and he does good deeds, they say, oh, wali Allah, wali Allah, wali Allah. People start to call that person pious. And when that person comes to the masjid, they say, oh, he's a friend of Allah, he's lofty, he's got a big status, he prays, this and that. This is an artificial world we are in. There's artificial recognition of status and personality. Don't follow the words of people. Don't follow the attraction of fame and noise, because this world, this dunya, is the house of deception. If somebody thinks I'm pious or big or good, this is deception. If I consider myself to be pious, this is deception. But the real genuine life is that light which is shed by the Quran and the Hadith that tell us that this person is forgiven for this deed. If via the verses of the Quran or the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam we get the guidance of what is right and wrong, then if things fall into that sort of definition, in that definition, then we know that that is reality and what is deception. If we follow that guidance, the Quran and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the measurement, the basis, the definition of success. For example, if we come here to the majlis, so if somebody says and speaks the hadith, I look, I open the kitabs and the hadith that comes on my heart, I close the kitab and then I come towards the masjid. That's what happens. So today I read this hadith. And while I was coming, my mind was thinking that what is our condition? What is our situation? That I will need to speak to my friends today about this subject. That we think we're guaranteed, we're following the sunnah, we're following the deen. But how will Allah Ta'ala measure our deeds? How will Allah Ta'ala recognize our deeds? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith said that there will be people who will have many deeds to the peaks, the heights of the mountains, and they will wake up at night and pray, but they will be told to go to the hellfire. So this is not a speech, a lecture, this is not a kitab I'm reading from, this is direct a hadith I've read and I've looked at, and I'm discussing that with you now. That's it. Now, if we really are the servants of Allah and we have the fear of Allah in our hearts, then in our hearts we should be now trembling and shaking. That what is the reality? That on which position am I now? Where am I standing now? What will be my hal? What will be my situation? How will I answer to Allah Ta'ala? And shaitan will say, no, why are you worried? You pray salah, you're pious. But Allah Ta'ala said it straight away, that you talk about salah and fasting, these people who will be told to go to hellfire will be instructed and shunned. They wake up big part of the night to pray tahajjud. So the sahaba ikram were amazed, shocked. They said, O Prophet of Allah, what will be the reason that those people will then be told to go to hell? So brothers, if we realize the reason, will we solve the problem? SubhanAllah, say it, inshallah. Why? Because if we don't, then we are losers, because a warning comes from Allah and the direction comes from Allah. And all the people who are listening at this time, 400-500 definitely will be listening, sisters, brothers. Yes, so then the situation circulates those people, and they start thinking that Allah Ta'ala wants to save those people from Jahannam. Either they'll reach to the heights, the shukr of Allah, we're grateful to Allah that on this day and age, if I'm 16 years old today and I heard that Hazrat Sahib was speaking, or I'm 17 years old, that today I have come here to this country, or I've come here and I heard this in my ears, and then all of the enjoyment goes far, or I'm 50 years old, or I'm 70 years old, or 80 years old, then this is big beast of good news for everybody that if we hear these words today and we understand and we make a promise that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the news, then these words have reached to our ears. Then after today, the human being, if he still is lazy and negligent, then he has made his mind up, oh, it's okay, I've got enough time, oh, I'm going to go and jump into hellfire. Oh, it's okay, khair. We'll take the punishment when it comes. So what is this? This is challenging the deen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that everything will minus our ibadah. There's a certain action that will minus our ibadah. Rather, ibadah is a great thing. Ibadah, worship, salah, hajj. Even to look at the Kaaba is a great deed on itself. Great deed on itself. Tell me, is this not enough? That if a person goes to the Rawda Mubarak and stands in front of the Rawda, the Jali, the fence, the holy fence, and does dua, what a great deed, pious deed, full of blessings. And Allah Ta'ala gives so many opportunities to us in life to do good things. This is not a small thing. You leave home, you come to the house of Allah, you're doing the dhikr of Allah, such a big majlis gathering between the earth and the heavens, the space is filled with the angels due to the majlis of dhikr. Not one hadith, many hadith prove this. The Quran proves this. The whole heavens, between the heavens and the earth, the space, the gap is full with angels. Allah Ta'ala's tawajjuh, attention is towards this majma, this gathering, this majlis. So is this not enough for our forgiveness and for us to be saved from hellfire? But we are used to just listening. But if we had the passion, desire for looking, our hearts would explode if we saw the reality of what Allah Ta'ala has prepared, what's happening during the time of dhikr. I tell you the truth, that we would not be able to see the scene around us. What's happening here? What a gathering. That person, he would fall unconscious. He wouldn't even be alive if he saw the reality. That Allah Ta'ala says, I keep so many things behind the veil. That Allah Ta'ala says, behind the veil, I explain everything to you. When you do dhikr of Allah, Allah says, when you remember me, this is the reward. These are the scenes that are happening around you. And people who know the reward and experience that benefit, they run to the gathering, the majlis of dhikr. They say, oh, it doesn't matter. Even if I've got a little bit of energy or power or health, I'm going to reach to a majlis. That to waste one majlis is very dangerous for me. Considers the grateful person. So Allah's Nabi Sallam said that people who will fulfill, implement the faraid, the deeds, they will have stacks of deeds, they will wake up in the night, but their deeds still will lead them to Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala gives us opportunity to do ibadat. This is His masjid, salah and sujood. And Allah Ta'ala controls and owns everything. It's up to Allah if He puts our deeds into the mind. So the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the reason for why people who do a lot of worship, who pray salah, who give a lot of zakat, and they wake up in the night and do worship, and they keep the fast, and they go on hajj and on umrah, all of this they have. But what's the reason that they will be dragged to the hellfire? The reason for this is that in their hearts, the world, the dunya had overwhelmed them, overtaken them. The love of the dunya had overwhelmed these people. That's it. And look here at this point. That if in the heart of the person, dunya is stuck, is ingrained, has permeated heart, the love of the world, hubbe dunya, is a very dangerous thing indeed. Very dangerous thing. Doesn't matter how much ibadah I do, but if ibadah I do and the love of the world is ingrained in my heart, then the result, net result, is hellfire, jahannam. Net result. So I have to think now that hubbe dunya, love of the world, is a dangerous thing. As Isa alayhi salam stated this, and he was the Nabi of Allah, he said that fire and water, show me, can fire and water go into the same container? He said, please show me in one container both. If these cannot be in the same container, then the heart is a container, and Allah's love and the dunya, the love of the world, cannot both be at the same time in that container. They are two separate things. The question doesn't rise. Doesn't matter how much ibadah you do. Doesn't matter what you do. As long as the love of the world is in the container of the heart, then Allah Ta'ala's love cannot come into that heart. That's the point. This is the point here. This is what dunya is. So we hear the names of the walis of Allah, the great personalities. We read about their worship, their sujood, their prostration, their kalam, their words. We see the qurb and the nearness to Allah they had. We hear these things, we read these things, and people used to follow them and respect them, and how many people came into Islam through their da'wah and their company. We read the kitabs about the walis of Allah, the pious people. Think for a few moments of what was their condition. What was their condition? Any individual who has this title and who really genuinely was a wali of Allah, first and foremost, you'll see that their hearts were empty from the love of the world. Empty. Nothing. The whole you can say, concept of love of the world had emptied out of their heart, eliminated the love of the world from the heart. It was like dust. So we'll have to extract the love of the world from our hearts. Now, one point, let's not start worrying now. For example, there's a person who's ill, and we say to that person, you're a patient of this disease. He'll start sweating. What will happen to me? Then the other consultant will come and say, what's the problem? You say, I've got this disease, I've been told, I've got this problem, that problem, that on the sit, I'm going to perish. Then the consultant will say that you've come to the hospital, oh patient, why are you distressed? That the disease you've come with, that there's a solution, there's a medicine for this disease here. Otherwise, you could have gone somewhere else if you're worried. But we will give you the solution and the cure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that if I give you the order, that this is such a big point, that if the love of the dunya overtakes your heart, and that will take a person to destruction, then there must be a solution to eliminate the love of the world from the heart, isn't it? So why are we worried? Why are we distressed? Why are we upset? Then take the love of the dunya out of the heart. And the person who wants to take the love of the dunya, it will come out. Within seconds, it will come out. Hubbe dunya, I'm talking about love of the world. The muhabbat of the world I'm talking about. Within seconds, it will come out. Seconds doesn't mean leave the world, leave your houses, go into the jungle. No, the love of the dunya needs to come out. Not that you have to leave your work or your employment or your business or your wife or your children. This is not our tariqah. Islam does not teach this. Islam teaches live in the dunya and do the right thing. So love of the world is a separate thing, and to have the needs of the world is a separate thing. These are two opposite things. But what game have we played that we have redefined and renamed fulfillment of the needs of the world to the other side of love of the world? That's what we've done. And this is what we learn when we go to the gathering, the company of the Wali of Allah. This is where we learn in the company of the true friend of Allah, what is the need for our life and what is the love of the world. But we trick ourselves. No, no, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. And there we will learn that we were doing fraud with ourselves. This is not a need, this is a hubb. Hub, love of the world. Hub is separate to the needs, just to do enough to fulfill needs. And people say, oh, what are you saying? Should I leave my wife and my children and my family members and not give? There are so many clever people, they start shouting, oh, why are you talking that I have to take the love of the world out of my heart? You're saying I have to leave my children and my wife and my job. You're saying to me I shouldn't pursue a career. Once this happened to me, oh, he's saying to me that leave my wife, and he doesn't have a wife, and he's saying this, and this man made noise purposely. Imagine what nonsense people speak when they want to find an excuse not to come to the deen. Rather, that person's going in the reverse gear. Here, more benefit is being given to that person. This is the benefit, alhamdulillah, that a person here, the deen teaches us that taking the love of the world out of the heart doesn't mean don't do enough work, don't run your business. No, rather run your business more. Rather go more towards your wife and your children. Rather, the deen will strengthen our ties with the dunya. Why? Why? Because let me explain to you, hub, the sign of the love of the world. What is this? What is the sign of love of the world? Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us and coaches us and explains to us. This is the karam, the miracle of this majlis of dhikr, of this gathering of dhikr. This is not the miracle of dhikr of Allah. Is this not Allah ta'ala's fadal? That the books are opening up themselves from inside the heart. Who is telling us this? Now let's look at what is hub, what is love. So at least we should understand the definition here, the criteria, that how do we realize that this A, B, C, this action is love of the world? Am I stuck in the world or not stuck in the world? How will I realize? Tell me. And now I've touched this topic, so we shouldn't fear, we shouldn't worry. Let's continue in this discussion so we can understand. Because I need to cure my own disease and problem. So if I can learn today, because I have to analyze myself, isn't it? I have to scan myself. That do I have this defect within me? Do I have love of the dunya in my heart? How will I know if I've got love of the world in my heart? So if we have the love of the world, then I will give you a way of identifying if you've got love of the world. Yeah. So is there any measurement gauge that can tell us that we've got love of the world in our hearts? And this discussion may extend, but it's important for us to understand this basic point. What is hub? Now, if an individual sees or hears and knows about the law of Allah, and if for the sake of the world he rejects Allah Ta'ala's rule and principle, then he has got love of the world. Say Subhanallah. Are we lost or we're not understanding? If an individual rejects the ahkam of Allah, the hukum of Allah, due to the dunya, due to the world, due to the love of the world or the fear of the world, then this is called hubbe dunya, love of the dunya. Simple definition. Very simple definition. So if an individual is a millionaire, has lots of money, very wealthy, and he hears or sees and knows about the ahkams of Allah, the laws of Allah, the rules Allah Ta'ala has established, not ahkam, not one, not hukam, ahkamat, the hukuk Allah, the rights of Allah, hukuk al-ibad, the rights of society, everything comes into this. Any hukum of Allah, any order of Allah, any principle of Allah, if due to the love of the world or due to the fear of the world, I don't implement those rules or principles or laws of Allah, and Allah has given that person a lot of money, alhamdulillah, yes, then he is leaving that, he's not following the principle of deen. But if a person follows the hakams of Allah, the laws and the principles, despite being so wealthy, yeah, despite having the recognition of what the world is around him, then mashallah, he doesn't have the love of the world. Abdullah bin Harar, subhanallah, look at his labas and his transport, and people used to see him, rahmatullahi, that he is a wali of Allah, because no time would pass in his heart did he ever feel inferior or think that the laws of Allah or the deen of Allah was inferior. Never did he have that consideration. So this is not the sign that if a person is rich or poor, wealthy or living in poverty, it's not necessary that the rich person cannot be a wali. Rather, even a poor person, he doesn't have anything, but he has so many desires of the world. It's in his heart. He has nothing, but even then he can be a person who is in love with the world. So in reality, it's the heart that needs to be tamed. If there's no love of the dunya in the heart, that's the sign. Any law of Allah, any ahkam, not hukam, ahkam. There's a friend of ours, let me tell you, what was his hal? Salah, dhikr, everything he used to do. And what did he do in parallel with that? He said that, what should I do? You know, on the table, let's put a clock here, alarm clock. When it's Zuhr time, then the alarm will sound and I will know that it's Salah time. Subhanallah. So he's very happy he's going to pray Salah. That person who doesn't know about Salah, that it's the Salah time, prayer time, then if this is not wretchedness of the dunya, what else is there? So he has to keep an alarm. And here on the other side, as Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said, that they used to forget recognizing the world before Rasulullah in the preparation for Salah. An hour before, a person should start to prepare for Salah. Time and time again, he looks at his watch or his clock and he prepares himself emotionally, physically. And here, the person's going to pray. He said, I pray Salah. I prayed and came back. But he has to be told that the clock, the alarm is sounded, and the time might run away, and you're going to miss Salah. And he thinks, oh, he's a wali of Allah, I never miss any prayer. And who's telling him it's Salah time? The watch or the clock. He has to remind him. The phone comes, and we'll put the hand on the button of the phone. Oh, the phone's come. The call has come. So, hubbe dunya, love of the world, is the laws that Allah Ta'ala has given. The rules Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Straight away, we have to implement those deeds and fulfill those orders in the right way. And at that time, if I don't have fear of the world or love of the world, and I run and I fulfill and implement that order or hukam or principle of Islam, even if I'm a millionaire, I will inshallah be given Jannah, paradise on the day of judgment. You understand the definition? It's not difficult. So a person who implements deen, Islam, without any fear of the dunya, or fear of loss of the dunya, or love of the dunya, then that person will go to paradise. Remember this point. Whenever you implement a deed in Islam, don't feel loss. Oh, I will lose this, I will lose this wealth, or my phone call will go, I'll miss the call. And you keep on taking that loss and that regret and that feeling up to the door of the masjid. And in your ears, you got the phone, and you come into the masjid with the phone in your ears, then the dunya is wrapped around you, my friend. My brothers, it is stated that the wudu areas of the masjid, these are for the musafireen. That you live 2 feet away or a few feet away, and we come to the masjid and do istinja. What kind of preparation is this for Salah? This is dunya. This is the world that's overtaken heart. We should prepare from home in advance, do miswak, apply the fragrance, put the nice clothes on, just like you're going to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And with happiness, when you go to Hajj, you go with preparation. If you go for Umrah, you go with preparation. And Ramadan, the fasting, we fast with caution and preparation. And every Salah with preparation and caution. And there's no regret that I'm preparing for the Salah worship and I have to close my shop with the shutter down or a guest coming. He has no loss, no regret. Rather, he's happy that this moment in time I'm leaving the dunya and I'm going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is called not having the love of the world. This is hubbi akhir, hub of the deen. And this is the feeling, emotion we need to bring about. And if I don't have this, then I have not implemented the deen in the dunya. I say this and I seek forgiveness. But we have to understand that we've not taken anything from this dunya. We will be sealed and shunned. And people say, oh, he prayed, he was good. We'll be lowered into a grave and it will be explained that this was his standard. What was in his heart? He had hubbi dunya in the heart. Love of the dunya in the heart. So, Ahkam, the laws of Allah, the rules of Allah, Hakuk Allah, Hakuk al-Ibad. If I don't fulfill the rights of Allah or society due to the love of the world, then I am not the righteous person. For example, I'm not pleasing my parents, and for example, I said, oh, I recited 5 juz today, or I did this, but my parents unhappy with me, or my wife and children, I'm not fulfilling the rights, and the wife is not happy with the husband, he's not fulfilling the rights of the wife for the sake of the dunya, or he's not fulfilling the rights of the parents due to the dunya, then what answer will I give to Allah? This is dunya, this is called dunya, hubbe dunya, and this is also dunya. Remember this. Remember, every order of Allah, what are we? What are we? What are we? Consider for a moment. We are the servants of Allah. We are Allah Ta'ala's servants. And we, our role is something else. That the work of the servant, what is his role? Is that when the order comes from above, he has to follow the orders. For example, an employee works for 8 hours, he's given the tasks and the objective at work. And whatever the employer says, the boss, today you have to do this, today do that, he has to work for 8 hours. And he doesn't say that, oh, I want to do this. No, I don't feel like doing this. No, then he's not the employee. So servanthood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than this. That Allah ta'ala has sent us to this world, because we've been sent to this world. We didn't just come and got born ourselves. Allah ta'ala sent us to this world, just like the raindrop comes from above, it drops. So Allah ta'ala sent us with servanthood, the rules and criterion. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ. Pay attention to these verses. What is Allah ta'ala saying here, introducing here, mentioning here? Allah ta'ala says, I am the Rabb, I am the Malik, I am the Khaliq, I am the Creator. Allah ta'ala gives the 3 qualities, otherwise I'll go off track now. I'll leave this discussion, I'll come back to it. Allah ta'ala says that the reality of our insan, human being, that we, our lives are based on servanthood, worship. No, that's it. Allah ta'ala's order has come, eyes closed, we implement it. Allah ta'ala has given us total orders and we have to follow those orders. Allah ta'ala says, be careful, wife, children, outside, home, shop, transactions, business, dunya, society, everything comes below. First, what is above? The hukum of Allah. When Allah ta'ala's hukum comes, we have to leave everything around us. We should leave in such a way that nobody should even know, where have I gone? Allah ta'ala orders, at this time, prayer time. We have to leave the dunya at that time. In Ramadan, we have to fast, we have to leave the wife and the food and the all of them, the drinking and the chickens and the luxuries and the delicacies. You're standing there, but you can't eat the food. There's a stomachache, you're hungry, the pangs of hunger, and you have a need, and the food is in front of you, and there's nobody else watching, but you cannot touch the food. Why? Because this is the hukum of Allah. The order of Allah, Allah Ta'ala gives the example of Ramadan. And this is our whole life around us. Servanthood. Servanthood, that when Allah Ta'ala's order comes, then the person should totally become independent from the dunya. Whatever hukam comes, if I don't implement the hukam, then it's love of the dunya in my heart, whether I'm rich or poor. Remember this. My brothers, we need to make effort on this. Should we make effort on this or not? How should we make effort? Tell me, you tell me. You give me mashura, consult, advise me, and I also should think and consider. So is there any cure for this? That how do I fulfill the orders of Allah without any love of the world or fear of the world? So put your hands up if you've got the solution or the cure. Put your hands up. Is there anyone? We bring love of the world into the masjid. We keep it in our hearts. And I say, no, I pray. I don't have love of the world. No, it's very clear now. Because Allah Ta'ala says decisions will be made there. So look at the Khaliq, the Lord of this world, the Lord of the universe. Okay, so I have learned something in the company of the pious people, so I will share them with you. Some formulas in the light of the Quran and the Hadith. So those formulas I will revise and repeat in front of you. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice this. Because if we don't have this, then we're in a dangerous situation. So we understood now what's the situation. I'm not saying leave your work, your employment, your businesses, your wife, children, families. No, live in the world, but take the love of the world out of heart. When Allah Ta'ala's order comes, everything becomes strange. We implement Allah Ta'ala's orders first, then we go back to the dunya. First Allah, then the dunya. Allah says play. Allah says play with your wife and the children. Play as much as you want, but as long as my hukum's not there, you're free. Do what you want. As soon as my order comes, everything becomes strange for you, and your Rabb is there first and foremost. What a beautiful guidance, what a beautiful deen we've got. Both things Allah Ta'ala has given. Allah says this is dunya and akhirah. Is Allah Ta'ala not giving us this? Has Allah Ta'ala refrained us? We speak rubbish, we say all day long, Allah and deen, oh, I can't do this. And this is called dunya, because we don't trust Allah. Hasbunallah, we say, but we don't trust Allah. Oh, today half an hour if I close my shop, or 15 minutes, or I have to reduce my working hours if I don't go to work today. If my worker went to pray salah, then my heart feels, ooh, it's punctured, and I start to get distressed. If I open my shop and such a customer came, or there's a worker, and he prays salah, and he says, boss, I want to pray salah. I said, no, pray here. Why are you going to the masjid? What difference does it make? So we feel upset at that time. Allahu Akbar, this is the wretched dunya, and this is the love of the dunya. His salah, his fasting, everything is overwhelmed with the dunya. He is a ghafil himself, and he's making other people ghafileen. This is a dangerous situation. This is a disease in our hearts. We don't want to practice ourselves, and we don't want others to practice. I'll give you examples. I was a businessman myself. I saw the examples. Oh, what is happening here? Hazrat Sahib, where are you going? Why are you going here? Just pray here. You're in the world. You're in this country. How can you implement Islam? You have to be a bit soft. You have to compromise. Thousands of things you will hear in the world. Excuses, but this is not the case. I've lived in the world, I've worked in the world, I've run business in the world, but you don't have to reduce Allah Ta'ala's deen in your life due to living in the world. Rather, the barakat will come from Allah's deen, because shaitan, he attacks our minds. Allah says in the Quran, don't listen to shaitan. Shaitan will say, oh, if you go to salah now, you'll die, you won't earn. If your worker, employee goes to the masjid, you will take less turnover and you'll have less profit. Allah Ta'ala says, you will be zaleel, you will be wretched, for sure you will be wretched. Because you are leaving Allah's deen for the dunya. But the man who trusts in Allah, who has tawakkal Allah, who says, Allah is the one who will give. Is there anyone who can stop me? Allah's hukum first. First I have to prostrate, then I'll come to the dunya. So if we follow every hukum in this way, haqooq al-ibad, rights of society, or haqooq Allah, rights of Allah, wherever Allah Ta'ala's hukums are coming, orders are coming, wherever we are in the world, in society, in the prayer room, in the masjid, wherever we have to see what is Allah Ta'ala saying here. Now I have to implement this. So how do I bring this basis and platform into my life? Okay. So the biggest point here now for us to understand, the biggest point, the Quran tells us, the hadith tells us this, and there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of examples. Khud, me, this Ajis, this humble servant, is there and has learnt, and mashallah, I wasn't deserving of this, but there's the learning that's behind me. So if you take the company of a wali of Allah in whose heart there is no dunya, that's the first point. The question doesn't arise. If your niyyah is correct, if your intention is correct, for example, you have the niyyah that you want to leave the love of the world. What should be there first? Niyyah. Intention, I want to leave the dunya, the world. I want to be that person that I leave everything. Whenever Allah Ta'ala's order comes, I leave everything around me. If you make this niyyah, you have an intention that you want to be rectified and become a better person. This is how I became correct. I will tell you today, and as long as I'm alive, I will tell you these words. I will say it openly, that I went to my sheikh. Thousands of miles I traveled, and it was 15, 25 years after eating waste in the world, I met the wali wala in the first meeting. In the first meeting, the Wahid, he was the wali wala Arif, Qutb Ghaus, all the titles, and he was there, and me in isolation. The first question he asked me, he said, why have you come to me? And I said, I have come because I want to leave the dunya. Subhanallah, this was a true transaction, honest bargain at that time. If the niyyah is correct, I was fed up with the world, I tell you the truth. And there was nothing else in my heart. Otherwise, who doesn't want world, money, status, everything? And Hazrat asked me one question, and I gave that direct, straightforward answer. I swear by Allah, before I left that masjid, before I left his masjid, he took me to my destination. I swear by Allah, in this masjid, I'm saying this. So the first thing that we need to have is say it loudly, niyyah. Do you have this niyyah intention, or do you just come to do dhikr? Hazrat has called us, we come in, I enjoyed dhikr, Hazrat's voice is nice, and this and that. Then people will turf at us, out of the masjid. But if we have the right niyyah, then we won't be turfed out of the masjid. So first and foremost, purity of intention, correct intention. We have to make a promise that it cannot be. If Allah Ta'ala is saying that I have to take the love of the world out of my heart and I don't take it out, Allah has given me the power, resources, and every order of Allah can be implemented. Allah Ta'ala says, even an atom's weight of the love of the dunya has to be taken out. Everything we see, palaces, big houses, cars, etc., is nothing in comparison to the order of Allah. It's not even considered equivalent to the atom's weight, because these things will blow away like the wind. And in Jannah, in the hereafter, you will not even remember these things that we compromise for the deen. Hazrat Ibn Adam, rahmatullah, left kingdom. He was the king of Iran. And he was sitting on his throne. He was then one day, he left that. And then he left the dunya, he had no passion for the dunya. He was sitting with torn clothes on the bank of the river. And somebody came and said, aren't you that person who was the king? He said, yes, I was the person who was the king. He said, what have you done? You shunned the world? You got no clothes, torn clothes, no one's asking you, hey, sitting here disheveled, and you're sewing a cloth with a needle? And you got many people, thousands of you. What kind of life is this you've taken of isolation? And he threw the needle into the water. It's written in the kitabs. He threw the needle into the water of the river. He said, what have you done? He said, is anyone who can bring this needle back to me? He said, no, the needle's gone. He said, now listen. He called out, bring back my needle. Every fish came out of the sea of that river and brought the needle back to Hazrat Ibn Adam. He said, people like you. He said, I was like you before, like a donkey, no one heard me. But now I've become close to Allah, everything in creation remembers and listens to me. SubhanAllah. So this is the dunya that we're living in, that we, it's like a storm bringing a heart, but it's nothing. It's not even similar to the weight of dust, a speck of dust in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shouldn't be for us. So do we realize today? So first point, make your niyyah correct, intention correct. If we make our niyyah correct, then Allah ta'ala will forgive us. So make the niyyah today that I'm gonna take the love of the world out of my heart. So when the dunya, the love of the dunya comes into our heart in opposition to Allah Ta'ala's rules and ahkams, then we'll take the love of the dunya out. Are we going to do this? Yes, inshallah. That's it. So if you said inshallah, Allah will accept, and inshallah your resolve will come, your courage will come, then that's what we have to do. So the first thing we need to do is that we need to take the company of a person who himself has taken the love of the world out of his heart, who's a wali. And when you sit in his company, the love of the world will come. There's no talk about mal there, or wealth in his company, or this much money is coming, or profit or loss account. And if there's no mal there, then how will you remember the mal when you go to that company? There was a friend of mine, I remember, and he was a sharif person, straightforward person. And I saw once that a new plate came out, and he put the plate on his car, and I thought, what's he done here? Let me see what he's got. I thought, let's have a look and investigate. That he was, mashallah, in the world. And I said, what's this? And I realized that his friend that he became friends with, and he put his nameplate onto his car. So with that desire, he put his nameplate onto the car. So this is what happens, that when you sit with and have the company of the people of the dunya, you will get nothing apart from what that person does. But when you go to the wali of Allah, to such an individual in whose heart there's no dunya, there's no hisab of the dunya, concept of dunya, then what will you attain from there? Allah Ta'ala's deen will overwhelm you and come into your life, and that's what you learn from the company. So have this experience. Go and have a look. For a few days, go and sit with the wealthy people, and he is the true wealthy person, the wali of Allah, and you will take the wealth. For example, if you sit with a rich person and you sit with him for a long time, then you say, I want a big house like him. You will take a debt, a loan. I want a sofa like him, car like him, clothes like him. For example, your wife, she goes to a rich person's house, she'll start fighting with you. If your wife and children go to somebody who's rich and wealthy for a week to their house, she'll come and argue, look, those people are progressive, and she'll tell you this and that. They'll make you sell the shop to do another business to make more money. Never will the desire of the dunya ever end. But if you start going, your wife and children, to the house of someone who's maybe not well off, who doesn't have the love of the world in their heart, not poor people, because even poor people can have the love of the dunya. So for example, when they come to your house, they'll say, the poor person is that person whose heart is poor. His heart is poor. If you send your family to the house of those people who don't have love of the dunya in their hearts, then your wife will come and say, mashallah, I like this company, you're doing a good thing, our sofas are fine, we don't need to change them, this is good enough for us, because this is the company that we need to keep. Always those people's children will go towards the negative sides who are shown the dreams of the dunya. Then we cry after, we are wretched ourselves, our children are wretched and cursed, and in the hereafter will be cursed, and our wife and children also will be in the wrong position. Remember this point. When we leave the orders of Allah for the sake of the dunya, that what will the dunya say? Then that's finished. So what's the first thing we have to do? Is that take the khabees, wretched love of the world out of the house, out of the heart. So this is the niyyah we have to make first. So the first step is niyyah, intention. I want to take the love of the world out of my heart, and then sit, and I have to have the company. Nowadays we have many places you can go to, you keep looking and searching and searching, going. And when you see that there's no concept of dunya in this gathering, in this person's heart, in his company, then stick yourself, adhere yourself to that person, to that sohbet, and Allah's fazl will come into your life. So the first point is niyyah, purity of intention. Second is the sohbet, connection, company of the pious person. And the third thing is dhikr of Allah. And that is enough for us to gain the success. Allah Ta'ala says. And I think many, very few people do this dua. So this is the dua we should start with. Allah, take the love of the world out of my heart, Allah. Take the love. What great opportunities come in a person's life. We don't say this dua out of fear. I'll have to leave my shop or my business. I don't want to fall into difficulty. Or I'll leave this dua. I'll leave this dua. I won't ask this dua. Straightforward dua. Allah, please take the love of this dunya out of my heart. Allah, take the love of this dunya out of my heart. That's it, Allah. Allah, I need your love. Hubba Allah Ta'ala says that ask for the true love. Look, Allah Ta'ala has explained this dua to us. Allah has given us the example that ask for my love. Allah Ta'ala says, in opposition to the dunya, ask for the love of Allah. And then what love comes after that? The Allah, give me your love and give me the love of such a person who loves you. Oh Allah, hi, hi, subhanAllah. So the mounds and the stacks of love will come into your heart that you will never remember the love of the dunya after that. Such a love, Allahu Akbar. Allah, give me your love. Allah, give me the love for that person who loves you. Allah, give me the fana for that person's love. SubhanAllah. Then after that, the amal will come, the practice will come. And Allah, give me that practice that will give me your love. SubhanAllah. What beautiful dua. And what is that after that? So Allah Ta'ala's dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are good times, opportune times. Allah, we've heard today a hadith of Rasulullah SAW that as long as the dunya stays in my heart and the love of the dunya stays in my heart, and as long as I keep on leaving your laws and rules and orders for the love of this dunya, and I leave the direction and guidance of the wali of Allah and the pious people with this fear, I don't want to become poor, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die hungry, I don't want to lose this, and that person's going to be better than me and beyond me. Allah Ta'ala, please take me out of this love of the dunya, take me out of this trap, and give me the life of respect, end of story, and whatever situation you keep me in, I'm happy. Such rizq Allah give to me, that your orders, I don't want to break your orders, I want to follow your hukum and your orders, Allah. Such barakat Allah Ta'ala will give. So four things, if a person does, then there's no difficulty after that. That's it, very easy after that. So do dua, that Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq, that the point that we've discussed today is very dangerous with regards to the hereafter. Alhamdulillah, the cure is there. We need to implement the cure. Let's start the cure today. If we find somebody who's pious, who doesn't have love of the world in his heart, then sit with that person with a pure intention. Sit with that person, meet that person, sit in his majlis, do dhikr of Allah and do dua in abundance. And inshallah, you will live through this dunya, you will float through this life. And inshallah, when you get the power and the energy, that you will persevere in the when Allah Ta'ala's orders come to you, then you will, mashallah, pass through this life beautifully. It doesn't matter if money's coming, your business is flourishing, but you have no worry in your heart. The Allah, in front of your order, I will not reject your orders. I will not take anything in opposition to your order. Everything for me is strange. And this is called fadl and the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us the success and listen to our request and take the love of the dunya out of our hearts and make us a true believer and mu'min and Muslim. Ameen.